That's 2 Peter chapter 1, starting from verse 11.
For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount.
Amen.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Last week we learned St. Peter was telling us what kind of calling we have, what kind of blessing we have, and how we can grow with what God has given to us. And this last part of this chapter, he's trying to say, I'm encouraging you. Even though you know everything, what you learn, but this is my duty to tell you. When you read the verse 10, please read the verse 10, and then we'll go to the 11.
Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall.
Okay, your calling and election, make sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That means every believer should know that God gave us calling to come to Him to receive salvation. The call is given to everyone. Everyone is welcomed. God has given a chance. Until you take a last breath, you have chance to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Nobody can tell you you're lost because God doesn't love you.
True.
God loves everyone. And the word of God says, God has called us. Even the Judah was called, right? And he was with Jesus Christ. But what happened? After listening all these things, he hardened his heart. God is not in fault. God gave chance to people to come to him. So now he is saying, make sure your election, your calling, and make sure that you are not going to fall. The word of God says devil is like what? Roaring lion.
Amen.
Where he's going?
Amen.
He's walking around.
That's right.
Looking everyone to devour. But thank God we have what? Lion of Judah, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Is
Amen.
Stronger than the enemy. So God is trying to teach us here. We have great high calling from God.
Amen.
Salvation is not ordinary thing. People are just thinking of salvation means we got saved and saved from our sin and now we are not going to go to hell, we are going to go to heaven. We have more than that in this world and world to come. Yes. We learned last week, God has given us everything what we need to live in this world and the world to come.
Amen.
There are so many blessings you cannot even count. Psalm 40, verse 5.
Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
More than can be numbered. These are God's blessings. And God is always thinking about you and blessing you every day. You might be not thinking, but the Word of God says our God never sleeps. And what? He never slumbers. He is watching over you and me, and He wants you to be like Him.
Amen.
That is His plan. So now, the verse 11 it says, please read, first chapter, verse 11, that's 2 Peter.
For sorrow and entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, up to now we learn the gate is very narrow to heaven and the wider is the gate to hell. So people are thinking maybe heaven is too small place. Heaven is very narrow place. This world, when you are going through trials and tribulations and problems, looks like a narrow road. But the heaven is not narrow gate. The heaven is not a small place. It's the biggest and the largest universe ever God created.
Amen.
The heaven is a big place. So what he's trying to say, when you start entering to that gate, the heavenly gate, there are angels and angels, millions and billions and trillions of angels are there to minister to you. And not only that, the Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, if we die today, Jesus will be waiting for you to welcome you in the house of God. You remember the Stephen? They stoned him to death. Jesus Christ was standing. The Word of God says, according to the book of Hebrews, when he finished the work and what? He sat down at the right hand of God. But the Stephen says, I see heaven open. And Jesus Christ is standing at the right hand of the Father. Why Jesus Christ is standing there? Because he said, welcome home, Stephen, welcome. That's what the Word of God is saying. A little small party is a great party. The Word of God says when one sinner gets saved, what? The angels in heaven rejoice.
Amen.
There is not a single word says if somebody got healed, angels rejoice. Because in this world, you have sickness time and time and time again. Trouble time and time and time again. But once you get saved, you got eternal life.
Amen.
Angels rejoice in heaven. There is nothing if some Hindu person comes or a Muslim person comes and get healed in the services. Because God wants everyone to be blessed. And if they don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, they go home and they get sick again.
That's right. Amen.
And then somebody says, you know, that's everything is fake. It's not. God gave you a chance to show His power. Amen. That Jesus Christ is
that's
great
right.
God.
Right.
And if you don't listen to Him and
Amen.
Say, now I got healed, let me go back to my God or my whatever the religion I am, you will be worse than before.
That's right. Amen.
So the Word of God is saying, when one soul gets saved, the angels rejoice.
Yeah.
So the welcome party is in heaven. He says, now it makes sense. Let's read one more time. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now that entrance is great. And the ministering spirits are there to minister to you as you enter into the kingdom of God. So don't think that kingdom of God is narrow and very small and you cannot hardly enter into the kingdom of God. That is for the world. In the world you have trials and tribulation and problems. Once you enter into heaven, no sickness, no disease, no pain, and you have everlasting peace. That's why we are entering into the kingdom of God. What kind of kingdom is this? Everlasting kingdom. But the kingdom of Jesus Christ starts first in your heart, and then start we will see in millennium, and then the everlasting kingdom start in heaven. There is no end. Okay, let's go to the verse 12.
Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth.
Dear brothers, you know what I told you. You know all this blessing. You know about the kingdom of God. You know about the greatness of your salvation. But he says, I'm not going to be negligent. What does it mean? He says, I'm not going to say, forget about it. I told these people several times. I'm not going to say it again. You remember, I tell every week, cigarette is bad. Smoking is bad. Drinking is bad. Any sin committed is bad. I am not going to get tired telling this. St. Peter is saying, I'm not going to be negligent. I am keep on telling. There is a saying, if you take a stone and pour the water on the stone, within a 1 second, there won't be any dent. But if you keep on pouring that water 24 hours a day, months and years and years and years, and 5 or 10 years later, take that stone, I guarantee you, there will be dent. So what I'm trying to say, every day what you hear, little by little by little, there is going to be dent in your spirit. And what I heard it, one man was in a great trouble in some foreign country, and he was doing drug business and things like that. And when he was there, they trapped him and he was going to be very in great trouble. He said, I learned a little bit thing in my Sunday school class. Call upon Jesus, or there is a song, Jesus loves me.
Yes, I know.
And when he starts saying, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, and Jesus will deliver me. Today that man is completely transformed.
Amen.
He's a preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So a little bit, somewhere there was a dent on that stony heart. Remember what I have told you. Remember what God is saying. Keep on saying. He says, even though you are established in the present truth.
Yes, sir.
You know the truth. If I tell you, do you know Jesus, who Jesus is? And everybody will say, I know Jesus is my Savior. If I tell you, how many people believe Jesus is your Savior? Raise your hand. Everybody will raise your hand. Then I say, do you really love Jesus? Raise your hand. Then again they will raise their hand. Then again I say, if you really love Jesus Christ, and for Jesus' sake you want to give up smoking and drinking and all the bad habits, raise your hand. Then the hand goes down. Why is that? You love fleshly thing more than Jesus. And you're thinking, well, Jesus loves me, but I don't love Jesus. And somebody said, but I love Jesus. How do you know you love Jesus? You love Jesus in practice, doing something. As I said, if somebody says, I love my pastor. Okay? When I said, could you give me a glass of water? No way. That I cannot do. But I love you. That is not a love. Love is an action.
Yes, sir.
Love is an action. You do something. When Jesus, you say, I love Jesus, then what is action is, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Yeah. Be my Savior. When you say, be my Lord. Do you know what you mean, Lord? Means, I am dead now. You are the one giving command. And you tell me what to do and I'll do it. If somebody is smoking, is Jesus Lord in their life? No. Because devil is a Lord.
Amen.
Devil is running their life.
That's right.
Jesus is not your Lord. If you say, Jesus, you are my Lord. And he said, uh-huh. Are you sure? If I am your Lord, why are you doing the things which I don't like? We cannot say, Jesus is my Lord. That's why he's saying, even though you are established in present truth. mean presently you are born again. Presently you know Jesus Christ is your Lord. But it says, what I want you to do, do not forsake what you have. Hold on to the truth. Because there will be so many trials and tribulation and temptation will come as we pass. So he says, I am not going to be negligent. I'm keep on going to telling you that and reminding you what is the truth and what is the blessings and where you supposed to go. I'm going to keep on telling you. Okay, verse 13.
Yet I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
Again, now just he said it in verse 12, and the verse 13 saying again, I think it's meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. What the tabernacle is? This body. He says, as long as I am living in this body, I am going to stir you up, putting you in remembrance, encouraging you.
Yes.
Keep on encouraging you. Today is Sunday. Let's go to church. We are born again children of God. We're supposed to go and tell somebody. Now, we keep on saying, our mission is what? Living for Jesus Christ and winning souls for Jesus Christ. How many times you heard this? Many, many times. Once we go from church, we go to our house and we do our routinely things. We do not have time to spread the gospel. We do not tell anybody. Hardly we get a chance to tell anybody. Why? We are busy. This is not my job. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a minister. Let somebody do it. But he says, I am keep on telling you, reminding you and putting in your remembrance, try to stir you up so you can do something. And how long he's going to do it? He says, as long as I am alive.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell. And sometimes people do not like it, but we keep on telling. Someday, somehow, somewhere, they are going to get it. As I said earlier, now just think you have a Roman Catholic brother or sister living with you or in your work. And when you tell them about something, they will say, oh, I don't believe in that church. Say, sir, I'm not trying to make you Protestant. Jesus Christ was not Catholic and he was not Protestant. Jesus Christ is a Lord. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the one healer. Pastor doesn't have power. Pope doesn't have power. Jesus has the power.
Amen.
So we are telling you, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will direct your path. So we have to tell these people, we are not telling you to be somebody, we are telling you to be like Jesus. And Jesus is the one we are preaching. We are not preaching about our religion or denomination. We preach about Jesus Christ. Let's read verse 14.
Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me.
Now he says, shortly means very soon. Now somebody says Peter might be very old at that particular time. And that's why he said God already showed him you are going to die such and such a way, such and such a time. We don't know. But he says Jesus Christ told me and I'm going to leave this tabernacle means I'm going to die someday. Did God show you what time you're going to die? No. We do not know. We are going to die today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, or 10 years from now.
True.
We don't know.
That's right.
Nobody can give you guarantee. But we have to live in this world just like this is my last day.
That's right. Amen.
On earth.
That's right.
That's the way to live.
Amen.
Tomorrow never comes.
Amen.
When God has given me today, enjoy the day for today.
That's right.
Amen.
When they get up early in the morning, I say, this is the day that Lord has made. And what I'm going to do?
Rejoice.
Rejoice in it.
Amen.
This is the day that Lord has made. And we should be thankful to God. Lord, I thank for today. Someday you might be not feeling to thank God. That's the time you say, thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Good time, bad time, worst time, any time is a good time to praise the Lord. So that's what he's trying to say. Shortly I'm going to go. But as the Peter says, maybe he was an old man and he's saying, now I'm ready to go. But we should be doing the same. We do not know when we're going to die. So our job is to what? Live holy life for Jesus today and tell somebody about Jesus Christ today, not tomorrow. Verse 15.
Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance.
I'm trying to remind you because I'm going to go, and he's saying, don't forget. Even the way I go away, remember what I said. So he is not leaving a chance that, you know, do what I say now, but when I'm gone, I don't care what you do. That's what some people think. When my job is finished, I don't care what happens to the church, what happens to the ministry. As long as I'm here, I want everything to be dandy. And when I'm gone, I don't care what happens. That is not the God's work. Why I'm doing this? Because there are future ministers following me.
Amen.
Church is not going to die as the Pastor Peter dies today. Church goes on.
Amen. That's right.
And that's why we are preparing the souls to take care of the ministry.
Amen.
The young people will come after me. And so there are people coming to take control of the ministry and the work. So he says, don't forget. Even though I'm leaving this temple, I'm going and I'm going to die, but you always remember. I want to remember what I told you to do.
Amen.
In those days, didn't have the tape recorder, didn't have the CD players, didn't have the DVD players. We are blessed today.
Okay.
Even though we are dead, still somebody can play the CD,
yes,
or play the DVD. Even though you're gone, those CDs are made. Some of the CDs, they say, they are guaranteed for 100 years.
Yeah.
And there's another CD I read the other day, he said, guaranteed for 300 years. So can you imagine, if Jesus Christ doesn't come 300 years, you will be hearing Pastor Peter getting tired of hearing. But we do not have chance to listen to Peter, but thank God, is it in the Bible.
Amen.
It's recorded in the Word of God. We are alive, we are doing the works, and even though we die, work must go on. So we should establish such a kind of work that when you go, somebody will carry on. So verse 16.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, and we were made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
Peter is trying to say about himself. He says, you know, there are so many religions. He did not put the religion there, but I'll bring it to you. He said, there are so many religions today. And their religion is based or established by some theory or some stories made up. We call them what? Myth, right? But some of the myth, they thinking they are real. And those people are made up story about certain gods, are made up stories about certain images. And they made such a way, you see some kind of fables they make, or some kind of book they write, and it's not real, myth. But they put it such a way that you think it's real. And that's the way some of the religions are established. because there is nothing reality in their religion. So the Saint Peter is saying, I am not carried away with this kind of cunningly devised fables. And my religion or my teaching is not based on the fables. He's not saying, you know, somewhere, somehow, somebody told me there is a Jesus and I didn't know anything and I just followed. He says nothing happened like that. He says, let's read one more time, then you know what I'm trying to bring it to.
For we have not found cunningly devised fables.
Okay, let's stop here. So, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. So he said, we means what? Peter, John, Paul, and all of those disciples, he said, we did not follow this teaching. We did not follow the wrong fables. We did not follow the wrong doctrine. We did not follow the wrong ideas. So what is trying to say? When we made known unto you the power of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitness of His majesty.
Amen.
What is trying to say? We told you about Jesus Christ. How did we tell you? And some of the people, when they were talking to those people, they did not see Jesus with their own eyes. But Peter is saying, I am not telling you fables like others do. I have seen Jesus with my own eyes. And John also tells in his letters, I have seen Jesus with my own eyes. That's why we are telling this. We are not telling fables. We are not telling stories. We are not bringing cunning devices. We are eyewitnesses.
Amen.
That means we saw Jesus with our own eyes. And we worked with Him, we talked with Him, we stayed with Him, we learned from Him, so we are not telling fables. We are not preaching this way because hearing the voices or hearing the stories or hearing some kind of fables, we were with Jesus personally. And that's what we are telling you. And that's what my eyewitness is. So our religion is not based on stories. Our religion is based on facts. Before Jesus Christ came into this world, there were prophecies. And each and every prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus and in Jesus.
Amen.
There is not a single man or religious leader anywhere in the world, before he was born, there was a prophecy written in the book. Only man is Jesus Christ. No one like Jesus. Praise God. Okay, let's read verse 17.
For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Now he's trying to say, we also heard the voice. And that voice was saying what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He left out some other part because he says, I heard it in the mountain. If you read in Matthew chapter 17, this verse is half done. In Matthew 17, he says, not only says, I am well pleased, but he said, listen to him.
Amen.
So what he's trying to say, the Peter has to say, I was confused. I was thinking the Elijah and Moses and Jesus are the same. And I was even telling Jesus, can we make one tabernacle for you and one tabernacle for Moses and one tabernacle for Elijah? Because I was confused. I thought, you know, they're all equal. And let's stay in this mountain and let's be safe. That's the time the voice came from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. Listen to him. That's the time Peter understood. Now I don't need any other person. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what he is trying to say. I heard the voice myself. But he's going to convince us a little bit further. Let's read. Verse 18.
And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophesy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
Okay, now what he's trying to say? I heard the voice, and what the voice was saying, he's recorded in the mount. And I explained to you a few seconds ago. But he says, that voice alone, people are not going to be convinced, because you are not there. Who are listening to him in his preaching or writing, they said, I was not there. I didn't hear it. So even the who heard it, Peter, John, and James, only three people heard it. Now they told other disciples, and they have to believe it. And somebody said, I didn't hear it. So what is the proof? Just like, what is his name? Thomas. Jesus came after the resurrection, and they saw Jesus. Even the Jesus showed his hands and feet, and they had a proof, and Jesus ate with them, and then Jesus disappeared, and Thomas comes, and what? They start telling, we saw Jesus. He showed his hands. He ate with us. What Thomas says, I'm not going to believe until I put my finger in his wounds and I take my hands and put it in his side, then only I believe. But 1 week later, Jesus says, same situation. Jesus said, Thomas, come here. Thomas might be trembling. He fell on his face. He had no power to come and put his finger and put his hand in his side. He fell on his knees and he said, you are Lord and you are my God.
Amen.
And that's the time Thomas got saved, born again.
Amen.
All other disciples were breathe on them. Thomas, Jesus did not come to breathe on him. He just realized, this is my God. This is my Lord. How come he came to know? I told him 1 week ago and he remembered and he came here. He was not there when I said it. So that's why Peter is saying, even though we heard the voice and you are not still convinced, and I know I'm not convincing you from the voice I heard, but we have the sure word of prophecy. What is written about Jesus Christ thousands of years ago, it came true. And that prophecy we are talking about. If you didn't listen to my voice, and if you didn't listen what I said, but listen to the word of God. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away.
Amen.
But his word will never pass away, established forever.
Amen.
So he says, how can we believe the prophecy? Only we can believe when the prophecy came true. Enoch, do you know Enoch? He walked with God.
Yes.
God took him before the flood even.
Yes.
Can you imagine? But that Enoch prophesied Jesus' second coming to this earth.
That's right.
He says, I see that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is coming with the thousands and thousands of armies of God and coming to rule the earth. Can you imagine how many years ago? Even as I said, the flood was not on earth. That prophecy is not yet fulfilled.
Amen.
But is going to be fulfilled.
That's right.
So Jesus Christ came first time. He's already came.
Amen.
And now when he came first time, he's going to come for second time. So the prophecy about Jesus Christ is not the fairy tales, is sure thing. Let's read a little bit further. Verse 20.
Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation.
Now, what he's trying to say, this prophecy was not like private interpretation. Just like the man heard the voices and he asked his wife, could you tell me what is this? And that lady gives interpretation. And he established his religion. is not like private interpretation. It was sure thing. That means whatever God said is happened. When he said Jesus Christ will be born in such and such a place, such and such a time, it happened. Jesus Christ will be crucified, it happened. He would be buried, it happened. He will be resurrected, it happened. Everything about Jesus Christ, it was foretold.
Amen.
So the word of God is saying that kind of prophecy, when you listen and you study and you learn, something will click in your spirit. Because there are Jewish people and Muslim people, if they don't know anything about Jesus Christ, give them the Holy Bible. Because they don't want to read it, but once they start reading, something clicks. He says it will click, the light will shine in the dark places.
That's right.
When your life is in sin, you cannot see anything in this world. But once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your eyes will enlighten. Then you start seeing the prophecy clear. And then you start saying, oh, I never heard about these things. Not a single holy book, Hindu book, Muslim book, or any other book has the prophecy about their leader thousands of years ago. Never happened, but the word of God says it happened about Jesus Christ. And that prophecy, when you start reading and meditating, something happens. The light that shineth in the dark places until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart.
Amen.
Who is that? Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Once you start reading in that book, it will click in your spirit and the Jesus Christ will rise in your heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's why people hate Bible.
Thank you.
They don't want Bible.
No, I do.
Russia said they don't want Bible. Today Bible is in Russia and there are many Russian Christians.
Oh,
Chinese say I don't want a Bible. Today Bible is printed in the Chinese printing presses.
Amen.
And Jesus
Amen.
Christ is exalted.
Amen.
Amen.
Muslim country, they say we don't want a Bible. Go and see, there are Muslim countries are printing the Bible today.
Amen.
They might be printing, nobody knows, now I told you, go and search it. They are printing the Bible in Muslim country today. They are printing presses. They are printing the Bible. So what I'm trying to say, today or tomorrow, the day star will be rising in their spirit.
Amen.
Many Muslims are seeing visions and dreams and they are saying we hate. We just thought he's a prophet, but now we know he is real God.
Amen.
Amen.
And when they come to Jesus Christ, you will see there are two Sunnis. They came to Jesus Christ. Both brothers are sold out to Jesus Christ. When you give this to some Muslim, they say, oh, they are not real Christian. They are not real Muslim. Are you real Muslim?
Mm.
No. Those people studied the Quran. Studied everything and find out there is no real salvation in Quran, so they turn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now somebody,
right. Amen.
Somebody listens to their story. They said, well, those two boys who are turned to Jesus Christ, they are not real Christian.
Mm-hmm.
They are not even real Muslim. How do you know? You don't know. Why don't you learn the truth? When you study the Bible, I guarantee you, you will be like one of them. Not one Muslim, I can tell you, thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims today coming to Jesus Christ because of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I have a challenge to this Muslim country and any other country who says Jesus is not real. If Jesus is not real, if Bible is not real, why are you afraid? Just make open rule that anybody wants to change their religion, give freedom. Anybody wants to read Bible, go ahead and read. Anybody wants to be Muslim, go be Muslim. Anybody wants to be Christian, go be Christian. Why you make them slave? if you keep the freedom in every country like America has. America, okay, you want to Muslim religion? You want to build a mosque? Go ahead. There is a mosque in America. There is a Hindu temple in America. There are Buddhist temples in America. And there are Christian temples, churches in America. Why don't you make the same way in other countries? Let the people decide.
Amen.
Let them decide what God they have to choose. And then you will be surprised that many people will come to know the Bible is the real book.
Amen.
And people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's why he's saying the Bible did not come to this world with a private interpretation that some people sat there and said, let's do this. Let's put this word there and that word there. Because it came by the Holy Spirit. Let's read the verse 21.
The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. So what he's trying to say, how this prophecy came, not by written by somebody whose thought, their thought was, it was inspired by God. And all this prophecy was written, all those people, the prophets were, they didn't gather together in one place and let's write about Jesus this thing. And it someday it might come true. Didn't happen like that. Each person who wrote, they did not even know each other.
Mm.
And this they wrote by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
God inspired them to write. That's why if somebody prophesied to you something, if that prophecy doesn't come true, it's not prophesied by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
There are so many prophets today wandering around telling their own story and guessing things. The Word of God says the prophecy has to come by God.
Amen.
Now somebody says, how about prophesying over your children and prophesying about, that's two different things. Prophesying means saying something. And you want to prophesy over your children, you be good boy and God will bless you and you will be great and this and that. That is nothing wrong. Because you are just prophesying good things to happen to your child.
Amen.
But you cannot just go and say, tell somebody God told me something. And that's how I'm telling. There are so many people who will come and say, God told me this. I'm telling you. God didn't tell them. They might be going and telling something wrong. But here they say, prophecy did not come by, you know, somebody's telling. But this was done by the Spirit of God. God inspired them to write. How can somebody say Jesus Christ will be born in the town of Bethlehem years and years ago and the name did not change yet? That is God. So when the Spirit of God tells you something and it's fulfilled, then we have wait for that scripture. That's why St. Peter is saying, don't take my word. I'm not telling the story. I'm not telling somebody inspired me to say something. I have studied the prophecy. And I have lived with a man who fulfilled the prophecy.
Amen.
And that's why I'm here to telling you the truth. I'm not going to be tired telling you this until I die. And even though I die, you remember what I said. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Lord Jesus, let us work for you.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, yes.
Let us go and tell somebody what Jesus Christ is all about.
Amen.
Many people opposing the Christianity, Jesus, and the miracles of Jesus, but we believe in our heart that the real Jesus Christ is shining inside in the dark places. And the same Jesus will go to the darkest place in this world. The person who never heard about Jesus Christ, and the light will shine on those dark places. And those people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And before Jesus Christ comes, there will be millions of churches establishing all over the world, and there will be a great revival before Jesus Christ comes. Lord, let us be part of that ministry.
Amen.
Serving you and telling others about Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Let the whole world know that Jesus Christ loves them, and He died for the whole world, and He wants each and every one to be get saved, healed, delivered, and sanctified. Lord Jesus, thank you for the great mission you have given to us, yes, and let us fulfill your commandment.
Oh, yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Please be seated.